This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Take a minute here for my computer to get up. Glad to have the visitors we do with us this morning. As close as Kashmir and as far away as down on the tip of Florida, or down on Florida in Tampa. It's good having you here. I hope our cold weather doesn't freeze you too bad. I hope you brought enough clothing. We're finally getting down into the cold temperatures. We are continuing our study on our 12 steps or 12 ideas of one anothering. Today we'll be looking at the idea of the need for us to pray for one another. Prayer is our privilege and our responsibility as disciples of Jesus Christ. Praying for another one, or praying for one another, can make a difference in our life and the people that we are praying for. Whether you realize it or not, we may or may not see the fruits of the labor of our prayers. This morning, our one another verse comes from James 5. Verses 15 through 16. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice that James stressed three things in these two verses. The first of all is in verse 15. He wants us to know that prayer is powerful and it is effective. Prayer can accomplish so much. The prayer of faith can save the sick. I remember years ago back home, I can't remember how I heard about it or if we were at the congregation, but it was a Wednesday night, and the church was praying for a member of their family who was in the hospital on her deathbed. And the church stayed there all night and prayed for this sister. The next morning, the doctors were confounded as to how she had survived the night, and she ended up living. And, you know, the brothers and sisters who had prayed for her knew what had happened. But the doctors they didn't understand it. But on the other hand, I remember when we first moved here, we went to Coeur d'Alene, to Dalton Gardens. They were having a gospel meeting, and I think it was the Monday night. They prayed for a sister who was on her deathbed in the hospital. And I remember going back the second night, and they announced that she had passed away. And that they were excited about it. They, you know, praise God, she passed away. You know, and I was sitting there thinking, why in the world are you all excited and happy, you know, that this sister had passed away? And where they went on to say, she has met her goal. Her race is over. She doesn't have to worry about sin anymore. You know, and I got to thinking about it, and it's like, you know, you are right. It is a blessing. But we see both sides here of praying, a church praying for their sister in Christ who was on their deathbed, and one survived and lived on and the other one didn't. You know, sometimes we don't understand the answers to our prayers. Sometimes we disagree with the answers to our prayers. But again, that's our human side looking at it and our emotions looking at it. Instead of understanding God, understanding he has the final say. Sometimes he might answer us yes, but sometimes the answer might be no. And we might not understand it, but part of being a Christian is coming to terms with that possibility. God has answered your prayer, but maybe not in the way that you wanted. The second thing about prayer that James states is found in verse 16. James wants you to know that we need to pray for each other. Why? That we may be healed. We need the prayers of our brothers and sisters to get past our sins. It's not just a physical ailment, but sometimes we need healing from our sins. Prayer involves an intimate relationship where we share our struggles and our needs with each other so that we can pray for each other. Thirdly, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. What does that mean? Fervent means to have or display a passionate intensity. That means we need to pray passionately for our brothers and sisters that is in need of prayers. Why? James tells us that our fervent or passionate prayer avails or helps or benefits the sinner totally. That means we need to mean with our hearts what we pray for. I am sure that there have been times in your life where you did not know where to turn, what decision to make. Maybe you were facing a major surgery. Back on June 22nd, I had what I would consider major surgery on my back. Because any surgery, it has complications, especially on your back. It just takes one little twitch and you could be paralyzed. And I remember when I woke up, the first thing I did was wiggle my toes, you know, and it's like, okay, as long as I can feel my feet, everything else is fine, you know. And I wasn't really concerned about the surgery. I was looking forward to it, to where I could walk and sit and stand again. But I know my family was praying for me, not only here, but friends that we have across the country. And it's comforting to me to know that I was being prayed for. I didn't know who was praying. I didn't know when you were praying. But I knew that I was getting the prayers of my family and for my recovery. And that is comforting to know as a Christian. I don't know about you, but I am always grateful for the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Do I know specifically who is praying for me? No, I don't. But it doesn't matter. Just knowing that my brothers and sisters in Christ care enough about me and my struggles to pray. This means the world to me and eases my mind. And I hope it does the same for you. Richard Meyer wrote a book called One Anothering. And in his chapter on praying for one another, he gave three reasons for our lack of praying. First, he said that we don't pray because we don't know how to pray. And that can certainly be a reason that we don't pray as much as we might, or as much as we should. Many of us feel that we don't know where to begin, you know, how to pray. And there is no set way to pray. You're just talking to God, okay? That's all it is. And so anybody can do it. Many of us feel like we don't know where to begin or what to say. Certainly there is a need to learn how to pray, because it's not something that we automatically know how to do. But prayer doesn't have to be complicated. Second, he said that we don't pray because we don't think prayer accomplishes much. I hope that isn't what we think, and yet many people feel this way. Some people have concluded that prayer is a nice religious thing to do because it makes us feel better, but that is about all it does. And that's not true. I have a study somewhere packed up that was showing that they did a study at hospitals. And people that were there having surgery or for whatever reason, they had a 75, 80, I don't remember, 90% chance of getting better by praying than those who did not believe in prayer, who did not have a religious background. Just by praying, people were getting healed faster than people who did not pray or did not believe in prayer. I hope that that's not what we think. I hope that we believe that prayer moves the hand of God. I hope that we believe that prayer unleashes the power of God. And it is that what is really what we believe, then we should believe in and we should pray more. Finally, Meyer says that we don't pray because we have a faulty concept of God. If someone views God as a demanding, wrathful, cosmic killjoy, then they probably aren't going to approach God in prayer, if at all. Another wrong view of God is the picture God as a colossal vending machine whose sole purpose is to give us whatever we want. And what we must do is put in our prayerful quarter, and out pops what we pray for. People who hold that view become disappointed and angry, and they kick the machine for swallowing their prayer quarter when they don't get what they asked for. The right view of God is to see Him as our Heavenly Father, who is a great parent who hears all of our requests, but gives us what is good for us, which is not always what we pray for and what we want. When we view God as a loving Heavenly Father, then His will have an effect on how we pray and will have an effect on our desire to pray. I'd like to add two more reasons that people don't pray. Fourth, I think that sometimes we don't pray as much as we should because we are too self-reliant and too self-sufficient. We think that we can handle everything on our own. We tell God that we will handle all the little stuff and only bring the big problems to Him. Fifth, the other reason we sometimes don't pray is because we are too busy. We just don't have the time to pray. We are too busy with this and that, with work, with home, with whatever, that we just don't carve out a time to where we can pray. I know other people, they pray first thing in the morning, they pray before they go to work, they pray at night. They have carved out a time that they do pray, and maybe that's what you need to do if you're too busy to pray, that you just need to carve out a time to where you forget about everything and you turn everything off and you pray. Nevertheless, whatever our objections, our struggles, our hesitancies about prayer, they do not change the fact that we are called on to pray, and we are called to pray specifically for one another. Paul tells us this in his letter to the Corinthians. In the verses prior to this, Paul is talking about putting on the whole armor of God and describes each piece of what they are. We will start in verse 17 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I want to point out two things here in verse 18. Notice that verse 17 didn't end with a period. It wasn't the armor of God, period, and then this. It's a continuation. We will put on the full armor of God, when we put on the full armor of God, the way we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We have girded ourselves from head to toe in the protection of God. Then we can go to God in prayer. Look at it as God is protecting us and watching over us when we pray. The second thing I want to point out is that we need to be watchful in this end with all perseverance and supplication for who? For all the saints, for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is such a great example for us in this. He was not too proud or self-reliant to ask for prayer. Paul didn't ask for prayers from just one group of Christians. Over and over again in his letters to the different churches, he asked each of them for prayers for himself. We see this in the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here, Paul is asking the Christians at Ephesus to pray for him so that he might be able to speak boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel and that he may speak boldly as he ought to speak. We must ask for specific prayers for what we need, like making it through an upcoming surgery. Yes, God knows what we want, but we need to ask specifically sometimes, as Paul did. In Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul asked the Colossian Christians to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us, all those who are traveling, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of the Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul asked that his Christian brothers and sisters continue in prayer for him. How? Be vigilant in thanksgiving. We just celebrated Thanksgiving this past week. Did you take time during your busy day of making this Thanksgiving dinner to stop and thank God for everything that he has blessed you for? You know, we never can forget that. Why, again, a specific prayer? That God would open doors to them so that they could speak the mystery of Christ to them. Again, that he might be able to speak the words that he needed to be able to reach those whom he was going to be speaking to. Paul has asked the prayers of his brothers and sisters in Christ that God would open doors to him, that they would be receptive to his word. We must not be shy to ask for specific prayers when we need them. Again, to the church in Thessalonica, Paul tells the Christian brothers and sisters there to simply pray for us. Sometimes we don't need to know the particulars as to what we need to pray for, just that we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are struggling with something personal, and they need our prayers. And we've seen that. Well, somebody will come up and say, I just need prayers. They don't want to tell you why, and we don't need to know why, just that they need prayers. God knows why, and we just pray to God, God, please help brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, with the struggles that they are facing. That's all we need to do sometimes. Sometimes we need to let a fellow Christian know that we are praying for them. You don't know how much of a boost that statement might be for them. That is what Paul did here in Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 19. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is thanking God for the Ephesian brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. By doing so, Paul has asked God to give thanks to them through the spirit of wisdom and revelation in his knowledge. Sometimes we just need to pray for each other, just to be praying for each other. I'm going to read verse 17 again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Going on to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Letting somebody know that you are praying for them will boost them up, that you might, and you might not know it, but they need that boost, and you have given it to them by saying, I'm praying for you. People don't have to ask you for you to pray for them. You don't have to get permission to pray for somebody. You can even pray for a non-Christian, and you'll be surprised at their reaction. You're praying for me? Why? Kathy told me a story. She was working as a telemarketer or doing something, calling people with the bank. And somebody had, who she was talking to mentioned that she was having a bad day or whatever, you know, and just having a hard time. And Kathy says, "Is it okay if I pray for you?" Okay. You know, and Kathy prayed for her over the phone, a total stranger. You know, maybe that was the seed that needed to be planted. You know, you never know. You never know that seed, when it's going to be planted and how it's going to be watered. And so sometimes we just need to pray for somebody that we don't know that needs a prayer. Now, there are a lot of scriptures dealing with prayer that I'm not going to do this morning. I'm going to save that for another sermon when we talk specifically about prayer. But I'm going to keep going this morning's sermon dealing with the idea of praying for one another. We will never understand everything about the way that God works through prayer, but we can rest assured knowing that He does hear our every prayer. God works through our prayers. God promises that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective in James 5:16. We can never forget this, and we can never doubt God's promise to us. We can faithfully pray for one another and see how God moves through our prayers. It is wonderful when we see the answers to our prayer. It might be today, next week, or maybe next month, if ever. We can't give up on prayer to God just because we don't see or understand God's response. The question is, will we pray? Will we pray for one another? Every time we meet, we take prayer requests. Do you write them down or remember them so that you can pray for your brothers and sisters? Or do you just blow it off with the excuse that, you know, you don't need to pray because somebody else is going to do it for me? We all need to pray for one another. It's not just the responsibility of the elders or the preacher or somebody else. James didn't tell just some of the people to pray for others. As long as 50% of the congregation prays, then we're good. No, James stated that we all need to pray for each other. Will we pray boldly in a way that only God can get it done and only God can receive the glory? Do we pray with meaning, knowing that God will answer our prayers? We don't know when or how God will answer our prayers, but we still need to pray with confidence that He will, on His timeline, with His answer. We can't stop off like a child and say, "I'm never going to, you know, to pray again because God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted Him to. So I'm going to take my prayers and go home." We can't be selfish about our prayers. We must turn the prayer over to God and let God handle the situation the way that He sees. We need to pray boldly. Prayer is ultimately not getting our will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. Again, it isn't about what we want on our timeline, but it's what God needs to be done on His timeline. Years ago, when we were in Iceland, Kathy did a cross stitch. And when you flipped it over, it was just a big bundle of mess, knots. It was almost an inch thick with just all these knots coming, and you couldn't tell what it was. And I've always looked at it as that's how we see what God does sometimes. You know, we don't understand why He makes the choices that He does. But when you flipped over that cross stitch and you saw the finished product, it was praying hands. That's what God sees. He sees the finished product. He sees what is happening. We don't understand it, but God does. And the last thing is, as we pray, we will experience God's peace. We will find peace when we turn our struggles over to God. We must totally let go and let God. God will handle the situation. Letting go is hard for a lot of people who are the controlling types. But that is what we as Christians must do. As we sing the song, "Our God is an awesome God and a wonderful heavenly Father," prayer is our privilege and responsibility, not only to God, but to each other. Let's pray for one another fervently and faithfully. We only have two more lessons to go in our 12-week study of how we are to treat one another. Next week, we will look at the second idea of bearing with one another. Next week, we will look at bearing each other's burdens. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you, as we as Christians should be doing. If maybe you haven't put on Christ, and that is something that you realize that you need to do, you need to get rid of your sin problem. The water is ready, and we could take care of that today. Or if you are a Christian and you are struggling, you are facing problems, you need prayers for, let your brothers and sisters know so that we can pray for you as a family, and we can encourage you as a family, and we can help you through prayer. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, please let us know as together we stand and sing.